Well, this courageous young man went undercover in some very uncomfortable settings, and the video footage he got, shocking.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What a delightful show yesterday on The Line of Fire. What a nice surprise on our critics call-in day. I just didn't know how many calls we'd get because we've often opened up the phones to critics and those who differ on different subjects and got a limited number of calls, but we were pretty well flooded through the 2 hours. So thank you for all those who called in to express disagreement, some within the body, some from outside the household of faith. But thanks for calling and being willing to interact. Now, I'm going to keep the phone lines open if you disagree with me on moral and cultural issues. If you disagree with me on moral cultural issues and on the stands that we take on moral cultural issues or the fact that we take stands at all on moral cultural issues, I'm going to keep the phones open, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by a special guest. I'll introduce him in the second segment today. But he has gone into some uncomfortable settings, uncomfortable for him, and asked some questions and just taken some footage, some undercover footage. And what he's heard confirms what many of us knew for years, but goes against the PC narrative. And you will find this eye-opening and fascinating. So I'll be speaking to Ryan Sorba, whom I'll introduce to you momentarily. Something came to mind immediately before I went on the air today, and I want to share it with you and then tell you where I'm going with it, all right? One of my friends was involved in church ministry, youth pastor, associate pastor. His dad was the senior pastor, and somehow the other leaders turned against him. It was the ugliest split I've ever seen in terms of the way this pastor and his family were treated. Well, according to the church constitution and bylaws, you had to have 5 people on the board, and those 5 people alone had the power, the pastor being one of them, to dismiss the pastor or to change the bylaws or something like that. So let's say you had 3 or 4 that were there, and the fifth one didn't show up. Well, you couldn't do this. So however, you could make certain adjustments if you only had 4 people. So what they did is they had a meeting, called for a meeting in the pastor's absence, didn't tell him about it. And the 4 of them had the power to make certain adjustments within the bylaws. And they changed the part that said you had to have 5. They created a new reality in which you only needed 4. And then they turned around to do what they were not authorized to do without the 5th member, namely fire the pastor. It was ugly. It was ugly. It reminds me of a caller yesterday saying that he disagreed with me about marriage. He's not a believer in God or anything like that. He doesn't believe the Bible. And he looked up the definition of marriage, and the dictionaries now have the normal definition, although they surely don't say for life. And then they have the other definition, which is 2 people of the same sex. He said, well, that's the definition. I said, well, they changed the definition. They changed the definition. It's like I'm a weatherman and I now decide that cold is hot and hot is cold. So when it's 98 degrees, I say, we're going to have a really cold day today in our city. It's going to be 98 degrees. Say, what do you mean that's hot? No. Look at the weatherman's definition. I changed it. The fact is, though, you can play with words, but you can't change reality. You can't change truth. You can perceive what you want to perceive, but you cannot change truth and reality. Ultimately, truth will triumph. As Paul said, 2 Corinthians 13:8, we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. So if you're on the side of truth, hang in there. Hang in there. Ultimately, truth will triumph. You can be sure of it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you believe being gay is strictly genetic?
No. The thing is, I was never gay.
Yeah.
Now I am.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of who I am now. But.
So you believe you became gay from the culture?
Yeah, but I'm proud of it.
Do you believe...
The culture, I believe. That's
the culture developed.
That's where I stand.
Huh. What in the world was that? Where in the world was that film? This is Michael Brown. You're listening to The Line of Fire. My guest, Ryan Sorba, author, columnist, conservative political activist, currently serving as chairman of the Young Conservatives of California. Did you know there were conservatives in California? Did you know there were young conservatives in California? Prior to this, prior to YCC, Young Conservatives of California, Ryan served as the chairman of the California Young Americans for Freedom, as well as national director of membership and campus leadership for the DeVos Freedom Center at the Intercollegiate Studies Institute in Wilmington, Delaware. Ryan recruited 13,876 new members his first year there, more than doubling the institute's 55-year annual membership recruitment record, and on the bio goes. Ryan, it is great to have you with us on The Line of Fire. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Now, Ryan, I do want to talk about this undercover footage. I want to let folks know where to go on YouTube to watch it. But first, talk to me about your world. Talk to me about what got you where you are as a young conservative, which is so much against the grain of our society today.
I didn't know that anything had to get me here to become a conservative. I just looked at it like society was going crazy around the time that I was in college. I always thought everything was normal. I wasn't political at all. And when I got up to the point where I went to college, everything seemed to fall apart there. I mean, there were rainbow flags all over my college campus. People were arguing that you were evil if you were white. It was ridiculous. So I just kind of stood back and couldn't believe my ears, and I figured out that I was a conservative.
Mm. Where did you go to school?
Cal State San Bernardino in California.
All right. So how many people did you find, college age, of like mind that hadn't drunk the Kool-Aid? Because it is a crazy kind of situation where you expect somebody's going to say, okay, this is just a sham. We don't really believe this. But from the professors down to the students, you do have this extraordinary mindset, this radical mindset that would have been unheard of in previous generations. How many folks of like heart did you find on the campus?
Well, luckily, in our day and age, most students, they're not that into school. They just go and get their grades and go home. I think that television is equally as influential, and I think the television influences a lot of the students more than the professors do. But I think the professors do influence a group of students that are a small group, but a very influential group. But I think most people out there, your average Joe on the street, you know, that you meet every day, I don't think that they're against us, especially on the issue of marriage. I mean, we've won every election, just like basically every single election where marriage has been voted on, we have won. And, you know, it's just a small group of elites that are pushing this on to America, and they've got to be stopped.
All right. So Ryan, there are, you mentioned TV, the influence of TV. There are certain things that the culture is increasingly embracing. And we're told, look at the polls. And basically, here's what's happened. You have people who are not thinking critically. You have people who are being brainwashed by the media. As gay activists wrote out, this is the plan, you know, propaganda through the media, change people's thinking. So you have people who are not thinking critically. They're you know, if you tweet something out, it becomes what everybody's repeating the next day. You've got the bombardment through TV and movies and things like that. So quite naturally, people's opinions are turning, and basically there are things that you just can't question. For example, everybody knows that you're born gay. Do you have anything to say about that based on your own research or anecdotal experience?
Yeah, I mean, when I went out to begin, the first undercover video that I went in and did was, debunking the notion that people are born gay. I went out and I asked people, do you believe, I asked gays themselves, do you think being gay is strictly genetic? And almost all of them said no. And yet in the United States of America, according to the mainstream media, everybody's born gay.
Yep.
And I couldn't believe it. And I had to get the video out there. And I sat there and thought, where do I live in the United States of America in 2015? I mean, is it North Korea? I mean, are we really as free as we think that we are? Are the conspiracy theorists really so far out there, or is the mainstream media really the conspiracy theorists that are so far out there that are the weirdos? Because for this entire nation to have the wool pulled over their eyes, to have the iron curtain lowered between them and the actual truth about this issue, means that, how many other issues are that we look at and how many other opinions that we have are completely biased and molded by the media and completely incorrect. I mean, do we really live in the United States of America, the land of the free, or are we just a different version of North Korea? Because all you have to do is go to a gay bar and ask one of these guys, what was your first sexual experience? And they'll tell you. And yeah, I went to a bar, they have a couple of beers in vino veritas and wine there is truth. So they're not going to be as guarded. But you go up to them and you say, hey, what was your first sexual experience? They'll all tell you, 9 out of 10 of them will tell you, if you really ask them and push them, I was molested.
Mm-hmm.
That is what caused their homosexuality. These people were all across the board. 90% of them were molested.
All right, so hang on. So you're saying, and we're going to tell people where they can actually watch the footage. You went to a gay bar, obviously uncomfortable for a straight guy to go in there, especially when you know how they would view you if they knew exactly who you were. You went in there, just like some pro-lifers have gone into abortion clinics and asked certain questions and gotten the people to just talk honestly. And when you asked them about these things, they told you that they had been molested. And by the way, I know people that have counseled hundreds, if not thousands, of people struggling with aspects of sexual brokenness. And the vast, 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 vast majority of them, the overwhelming majority, will say that they were molested and that's where things got messed up. But these people not only told you, these men not only told you that they had been molested, but most of them actually said that's when things started in terms of homosexual attraction. Are you making that association, or did they make it?
They made it. All of them made it. Not only that, but I've got gays on hidden camera, and I'm working on the final finishing touches of the video right now, admitting to have molested children. I thought, all these guys were molested, and they all attribute their same-sex attraction to that molestation. Who's doing this? I thought, are these people doing this as well? And what I found was not all gays are molesting children, but almost all gays have been molested. And essentially, the homosexual population is a cross-section of the population of all people who have been molested. So not every person that is molested will develop same-sex attraction, but a large percentage of them will. And of those, almost, that is basically the cause for the homosexuality. And I actually caught people that admitted to molesting kids. I've got a guy, he's Hispanic, he looks like Santa Claus, he's got a beard like that. And I drummed up conversation with him, and I said, have you ever hooked up with the youngest guy you ever, quote, hooked up with? And he said, shook his head, said, 12. And I said, wow, how many boys under 18 have you gotten with since you, like, as an older man? Or how many boys under 18? And he said, I don't know, 7, not including the family.
Not including.
And so this, not right, including the family, 7.
All right, stay right there. Stay right there. We got a break. I'm going to tell you how you can watch this undercover video footage. It's just anecdotal. It's just talking. It's Ryan Sorba talking to people in a gay bar. Ryan, we come back. I want to finish this. Tell people how they can watch these videos. And I want to ask you honestly, do you hate gay people? Are you anti-gay?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is Michael Brown, your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. I'm speaking with conservative activist Ryan Sorba, who decided to go into a gay bar and talk to the guys there and just ask them questions. And you'll see the questions are not set up questions where he's going to get them to give a certain answer. He's asking and pushing on just simple, basic questions, and people are quite forthcoming. Look, I think of Harvey Milk, who's an icon in the gay rights movement. He had his first sexual encounter when he was 11 years old, men touching him inappropriately when he would go to what was the opera with his family. And then as an older man, when he was, say, in his 30s, he would be regularly with younger teenagers or, you know, 15, 16-year-old, that kind of thing. And it was just a part of the culture that he was involved with. No one's talking about kidnapping a 2-year-old and molesting a 2-year-old and gays saying, oh, that's great. No, every gay man I've ever talked to deplores that. But the fact is, so many have been molested and so many had their first sexual encounter as teens or preteens. And then after that, continued that pattern. So Ryan, you said that you were speaking with a Hispanic man who said that it was he molested when he was a boy, that he was with a boy as a man as young as 12 years old, and then at least 7 under 18. You said, but aside from family, what do you mean aside from family?
Well, he basically had molested 7 boys besides the boys in his family.
Wow. And he just told
and
you this.
Another thing I want all viewers to know loud and clear, old men aren't the only people molesting kids. Teenagers are molesting kids, and kids are molesting kids. What I've discovered is that what will happen is an old man will molest a kid, and then a kid will learn that and teach it to the other kids. To be honest with you, most of these gays, people that self-identify as gay were molested by another kid in their neighborhood and or another teenager. And in a lot of cases, when the kid was 4, 5 years, 6 years older, it was a cousin. I couldn't believe how many times I heard, so-and-so was, you know, his cousins got with them. They told him it was wrestling. That's a quote. And he liked it, and that was his first experience.
And Ryan, you're not cherry picking. It's not that you talked to 100 guys; 2 of them gave you answers that fed into your political agenda. So you're quoting those 2 and leaving out the other 98.
I have more video footage than you could imagine of this. I have hours. Like, I'm pouring through hours of these interviews, and just I could go on and on and on with them. And I'm leaving good stuff out because nobody's going to watch an hour-long YouTube video.
Right. All right.
You know, right now I'm like...
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I have 30 minutes. I've edited it down. I don't want to edit it anymore, and it's just 20 minutes. And I think I still need to edit it a little bit because people on YouTube, they turn away from long videos. So I was thinking about doing 2 videos, like cutting it in half and part 1 and 2.
All right, we're going to post this on Facebook, put it out on Twitter. Where can people go to watch these videos?
You can just go to Ryan Sorba. Look Ryan Sorba on YouTube, and the videos are all there. So far, there are the first one is an undercover videos of gays admitting that they weren't born that way. The second video is of prominent Democrats and gay activists making racist comments. They call us racist, bigot, anti-gay. And I'm not racist, you know, and I don't want to be called racist. So I decided to go undercover to see if they were racist. And in the future, if they were to call me a racist, I can say, look, I'm not racist, but if I went to talk to prominent gays and Democrats and found that they were racist, and here's the footage, and I'm like, you respond to that. And it was like they were calling African Americans who, you know, were against gay marriage Oreo cookies. They were white on the inside, worse than Uncle Tom's. They should be strung up, things like that. It was horrible. And then the next video was of prominent Democrats making horrible comments about Anthony Kennedy, the swing vote in the marriage case. You'll have to watch that one. It's terrible. And then the video that I just released Monday was of Democratic Party officials, including Gavin Newsom, Barney Frank's husband, lending their full support to polygamy, and Superdelegate Jeff Durfee saying, I probably wouldn't state this publicly, but yeah, I support polygamy. I'd support him. And there's another individual who was initially kind of on the fence about it, but with a few minutes of using the arguments that gays use to justify gay marriage, I was able to get him to support polygamy.
I mean, what objection ultimately if marriage is just about if you love each other and want to be together and be recognized by the government? Hey, Ryan, we've just got a little over a minute before the break, but do you hate gays? I mean, let's be honest.
No,
why are you doing
absolutely
this?
Absolutely not. I don't hate gays. I think that the addict is to be pitied, even respected, but not the pusher. So I think that you know, individuals who are struggling, they need help, and they need to be pointed in the right direction. But people that are proud and they're pushing it. Of this kind of behavior, they need to be corrected. But, you know, and absolutely not. I don't hate anybody. You know, I wish them the best, but at the same time, they can't, you know, take over, you know,
right.
The culture. And
it's the agenda. That's the issue, right? Honestly, 30 seconds, when you were talking to some of these guys and they were talking about their own history, did it stir any kind of compassion in you for them?
It made me feel really bad, you know. I mean, society needs to view these people for what this really is. These are people with open, infected wounds. And by granting them gay marriage, you're kind of saying, hey, it's okay to have an open, infected wound and never deal with it. We'll call it normal. And what we're saying is, look, you need to clean this wound up and you need to get it stitched up and healed. Because you'll see in the next video, a lot of these people are angry. They're angry that this happened to them. They aren't happy about it. And they were molested, and some of them terribly. And they need help. And the fact that society is, you know, turning a blind eye to that, and the fact that truth hasn't been able to get out there, to me, causes me to lose a lot of faith in our country's mainstream media.
Yeah, I understand. Fully understand. Ryan's going to stay on with us. You can keep listening at AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. Just click on Listen Live. So go to YouTube and just type in Ryan Sorba, S-O-R-B-A. What he's just said, gay activists will say, is terribly hateful. From having him on the air, that will confirm to them, I'm a terrible homophobe. But God knows our hearts. God knows we care about people. We also care about our country as a whole and what's best. Hey, friends, tomorrow we've got a special Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast, and I leave for Israel tomorrow. Please be praying and stand with me. Help us on this trip. It's going to be very important ministry. Your prayer, your financial support mean the world to us. Go to the website, AskDrBrown.org, to stand with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If someone can make it work, fine. If you want to have
right. Doesn't affect me. Hey, whatever.
Yeah. I could care less.
Yeah. You say this with good friends. You don't want to say it to straight people. You don't want to say it to the media. You say, give sort of a party line.
All right. That was Ryan Sorba talking undercover to some Democratic political leaders concerning polygamy. I've asked on campus debates. I've asked on the radio program. I've asked in social media. Every setting that I've had, I've put out the question, if marriage is not the union of a man and woman with the unique ingredients that that brings with a male and female coming together, why does it require two people? Why can't you marry yourself? Why can't three people or eight people marry? And the only answer I've ever gotten is either, well, fine, let people do what they want to do, or, well, marriage is two people. It's always been two people. No, it's always been male, female. Even when you have polygamy, you have male, female. So Ryan Sorba, leading young conservative activist, took it on himself to talk to people and out of the horse's mouth to get certain comments. So, Ryan, you told us in the last segment that you spoke with Gavin Newsom. He was the famous activist mayor of San Francisco that started giving out, quote, marriage certificates, same-sex, quote, marriage certificates before it was legal. Who else did you speak with about this? Are you there, Ryan? Have we lost Ryan?
Sorry, Dr. Brown.
Yeah, that's okay.
I spoke to Gavin Newsom. He is the lieutenant governor of California. I spoke to Barney Frank's husband, Jim Rady. I spoke to Democrat superdelegate Jess Durfee. I spoke to South Orange County Democratic Party chairwoman Fran Sadow. You name it. I mean, I spoke to a huge cross-section of the I spoke to the, well, I spoke to even more. I spoke to the party's California Democratic Party executive director from 2005 to 2009. This was the woman who was in charge of the entire California Democratic Party itself. I spoke with a number of individuals, and they just don't care. They just don't care. If you want to have your polygamy, go for it. You know, who are they to judge? You know, it's about, quote, freedom of choices.
Yeah.
They have no philosophical foundation for marriage whatsoever.
No.
And it's sad.
Love is love, man. Love is love.
That's what they said, yeah. And, you know, it's sad to me that our side has struggled so much in debating this issue. And for that reason, I put at the end of that video, and I think it takes more time to watch than the video itself, a case for marriage that is the case for marriage. And I have used it so many times and have never, ever, ever lost a debate. In fact, I've debated with people live in person and on Facebook and informally using these arguments. People on Facebook will end up liking my comments when I use these arguments. The people that I'm debating with will like these comments. They'll want to get off the public thread and get into an email, and then in the midst of the email, they'll literally not respond anymore because they just won't be able to. But the case for marriage is boring. It's not fun. The real case for marriage is not a bunch of clever, fun slogans and acronyms, it's not manipulative. It's like doing math. It's not fun. It's a little bit boring. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult for our side to build up those arguments because people don't like to listen to them.
Well, tell you what. Here's what we'll do. We've got a break. We come back. I want you to give me your argument for marriage and why we must hold to marriage as God intended it. Supreme Court about to rule on this. We better have our ducks in order. Go to YouTube, friends, and type in Ryan Sorba, S-O-R-B-A, some shocking undercover footage.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Coming out to my wife and family was the best thing I ever did. I've now become the person I really want to be.
Coming out to my wife and family has freed us all in ways I never could have imagined.
Coming out to my wife and living as a gay man was the most empowering thing I've ever done.
Now that's the way you're going to hear it from the media, that from England. Here are married men married to women, had children in some cases, and then after years came out and said, hey, I'm gay, and now they're just so happy and they're free and obviously living with another man and how wonderful it is. In the first half hour, my guest, young conservative activist Ryan Sorba, said, are we more like North Korea in terms of the media not really telling us the truth and we just hear one side of things? I document this in Queer Thing Happened to America, and then again in my newest book coming out in September, Outlasting the Gay Revolution. And by the way, 3 months before the book will even be published, which is September, it was already on Amazon, the number one book in the category of gay and lesbian activism. So it's getting some interest already. But I have an article coming out tonight where I talk about the big news stories that you didn't hear from the mainstream media. You'd have no idea these things happened. The massive rally in Italy for family. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands gathered with just 18 days notice. You'd have no idea these things happened. Other major things in the news. I remember how the pro-life rally every year in D.C., the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, hundreds of thousands would gather, and the local media virtually said nothing about it, where they'd interview two pro-lifers and three pro-abortion people, and you'd think that they outnumbered us. So Ryan Sorba went undercover, and if you go to YouTube and just type in his name, Ryan Sorba, we'll put the links up on Facebook and Twitter later. Go there, and this is just raw footage. I mean, it's not censored. It's just people talking to him in a gay bar. And everything they're saying is politically incorrect. It's what the media doesn't tell you. But Ryan, you've rightly said that most conservatives, and sometimes in particular conservative Christians, who just think that quoting a scripture will answer the argument, they don't know how to make a case for marriage not being redefined. You say that you've done it in public debates and social media debates, and no one has been able to refute you. So we've got some minutes. Give us your case for marriage and why it should not be redefined.
Will do. And, you know, and like I say, again, warning, it's a little bit boring because it's not cheap slogans and that sort of thing. But, you know, God gave us our reason. Why did God give us reason? God gave us reason so that we could know. To know what? To know Him. He's truth. And so, you know, when you look at human beings, you got to say, okay, what is human nature at its core? And human nature is reason. Human beings reason, birds fly. Our nature as man is to reason, to know what, to know Him, to know God. And through charity or, you know, love, we come to know Him and to reason correctly, because you have to put, you know, what's true or what's out there first before what you want to be out there. So anyway, human nature is rational. The primary rational purpose of the reproductive organs is reproduction. And the child that is reproduced is endowed with reason. But reason implies instruction or education, which takes a long time. It takes longer for human beings to learn to reason well than it does for birds to learn to fly. So the father, therefore, ought to remain united to the mother the entire time required to ensure the proper education of his children. Mm-hmm. So reproduction isn't just biological. It isn't just physical. It's also intellectual. Men have to instill manhood into men. Women have to instill womanhood into women. Human beings have to instill humanity into human beings. And so marriage is about the two rational purposes of the reproductive organs, which is A, physically reproducing, and B, bonding with your spouse to cement your relationship together so that you stay together to educate your kids. And you need to stay together to educate your kids because they need to be taught how to reason and how to live. And so that's the essence of marriage. The only rebuttal the other side has is, well, what about infertile couples? You know, infertile couples can't have kids. If gays can't get married because they can't have kids, why can't infertile couples not get married because they can't have kids? It's the same thing. So get out of here, you nasty bigot. Well, in reality, infertility is just merely like blindness. It means something's blocking the organs from actualizing their full potential. It doesn't change the rational purpose of the organ. It doesn't change what the organ is. This principle's implicit in the whole field of medicine, where we want to cure blindness. We don't change what the eye is just because it's not working properly. So infertile marriages, whether voluntary or involuntary, they're different in particular, not principle. Same-sex marriage, self-marriage, marriage to inanimate objects, and yes, bestiality are different in many ways. But the one way that they're all the same is that in principle, they're all incapable fundamentally of reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but in the case of individuals who are gay that attempt to adopt children into that kind of a relationship, think about this. The purpose of their adopting that child is supposed to be to care for it and educate it. You know, what is the final end of education? The purpose of being educated is truth, for one's intellect to contact reality. So that the purpose of education is truth. That purpose of truth is undermined every single day by the very nature of the relationship of the individuals that have adopted the child. The child will learn that reason is just an instrument to be used to satisfy his or her own whimsical desires. Reason will have been subverted to irrational emotion, irrational, passively conditioned responses. Society has programmed you to feel this way about this issue, from the television to cultural traditions. And so we're going to use our reason to just go along with that. Instead of learning to be critical, to coming to know the truth of things, and to organizing their emotions into accord with reason so as to develop a rational appetite, the child will learn that his reason's just a tool for pleasure. His reason is just something to use to get more pleasure, more often, more intense, and the child will subvert at the final end of his own nature, which is truth, through education. And so that's the short version of my case for marriage. And it answers the infertility rebuttal. It gets into incest and polygamy. These are severely deficient forms of marriage, but in certain cases, they can be deemed rational. It's like, for example, if you're the last man on earth and your three sisters were the last women, we would deem it rational for you to take them as their wives, as nasty as it sounds, to reproduce in order to save the entire human race from extinction. But luckily, that most likely will never be the case. Incest and polygamy are severely deficient forms of marriage to the point where they should only be engaged in the very most dire of circumstances. But they are different, rationally speaking, from homosexuality, which is completely, totally, and utterly different in principle. Self-marriage, bestiality, and inanimate object. They're in principle incapable of ever reproducing, of ever... There's never a reason to ever... engage in that behavior. There's only, you know, emotional urges that come from being, what I learned in my video was, these folks were molested. And there's something called imprinting. We've all heard of imprinting. Like when an animal, like, looks, the first thing it sees when it's born, it'll think is its mother. Well, with human beings, there's something called sexual imprinting. And it's in all the guides about treating children who have been molested. And what happens is that imprinted experience of molestation can be consciously suppressed or it can be unconsciously repressed. And then going forward, experiences that may, you know, like if something smells the way it did during that experience, or in some way or another relates to that experience, unconsciously it can trigger sexual desire because it's been imprinted and suppressed or repressed.
Right. You know,
that's what a lot of these people have.
Yeah, this all does get reinforced. I mean, just any couple can remember you're at a certain place at a certain time, and it stirs up a memory when you smell the same smell or taste the same food or in the same venue again. These things are very real. And look, there are people listening who say, I wasn't abused. I've always been attracted to the same sex. As long as I can remember, I was not abused, molested. I'm sure those cases do exist. But there's an overwhelming number that were abused, were molested. Hey, Ryan, the only downfall with your little lecture there is people have to think. Love is a lot easier, but let's get people thinking. God of light, hear
our cry, send the fire. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. My guest, Ryan Sorba, has gone undercover, spoken with Democratic political leaders, spoken with gay men in a gay bar, spoken to others who've very candidly said things that, boy, if one of us said something like that, we'd get blasted from pillar to post. And here you have it right out of the horse's mouth in that respect. I've got one last question for you, Ryan. Just tweeted out one of the video links where gay men talk about being molested. We'll post on Facebook in a little while. Hopefully more and more people will watch these. Just want to warn everyone, these are uncensored. This is as people are talking, and it's the real footage. It's nothing's being edited to give a certain impression. But Ryan, we've only got a couple minutes here, but you're a young man. You are a conservative political activist. You're much more active in the political scene. I'm more on the ministry and then journalism and radio and preaching, teaching scene. Do you have hope to turn the tide in terms of enlisting young people with conservative moral values? I mean, the narrative we're told is it's over, throw in the towel. How do we know it? Well, look at how young people feel about these issues. They're going to be older. Soon enough, they're going to be the ruling majority. So it's over, throw in the towel. It's already been lost. Now, of course, I don't believe that for a split second because I'm a believer in God and his principles. And I'm confident that ultimately truth will triumph and what's best for marriage and family will triumph. But on the political scene, are you optimistic, pessimistic? If you're realistic, what do we do? How do we get young people to have conservative moral values and to get involved politically?
Well, I think there's a larger percentage of young people that already are conservative than we think, A. And B, we need to get them active and get them involved in the process. We need to win the debate. And sadly to say on this issue, on the issue of homosexuality, a lot of times we haven't necessarily been winning the debates. And so the other side has grown very confident and, very hubristic, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And we need to start winning the debates, and we need to start getting the way to win the debate out to everybody. Because what's been happening here is they've been asking us tough questions, but we haven't been asking them any. So they've been saying, why can't we get married? Why can't we love each other? Why can't we raise kids if kids don't have any other parents? Why can't, why can't, why can't? Every conservative out there is expected to come up with this philosophical answer to every single question they've got. Well, we could do the same thing to them and ask them questions. We could say, well, what's your definition of marriage? Yeah. Why don't you give me your definition? Oh, then why can't polygamists get married? Then why can't I marry my vacuum cleaner? Then why can't I marry, this, that, or the other thing? And we've got to learn how to answer their questions, and then we've got to learn how to ask questions back to them. And young people, they respect credibility. They respect people that win. Everybody in America respects success. And if we can be successful and we can answer these questions confidently and in a credible way, we can win them back. And I think that this next video that I'm going to release either today or tomorrow at the latest, I'm busy captioning it, I think it's going to put I mean, I think the undercover video of gays admitting they're not born that way and this video are going to be a constant resource that are going to put a lasting dent in this debate. And I think your book was Queer Thing Happened to America was amazing. I think everybody who reads that book will look at the issue differently henceforth after reading that book. And so people like, you know, people that are committed to learning about these issues and coming out with the real answers and unafraid to talk about the real answers. You can't be afraid to say, look, man, watch your kids, because old men are molesting kids, teenagers are molesting younger kids, and little kids as young as 4 and 5 years old are engaging in sexual acts with other little kids because they've been molested and they're showing the other kids. So you've got to watch who your kids hang out with. One kid got molested by another kid under the stairwell at his apartment complex. Another kid molested 10 kids in his neighborhood. And I said, how did you know how to do that at 6 years old? And he said, I don't know. He had repressed or suppressed the memory, obviously, because a six-year-old doesn't know how to do that.
Yeah, and even just the youngster's exposure to pornography, heterosexual, homosexual. Hey, listen, Ryan, we've got to run. But stay strong. I appreciate the work that you're doing. Again, friends, go to YouTube, Ryan Sorba, S-O-R-B-A, to watch some of these videos. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. You bet. All right, friends, it could be tomorrow. Could be Monday. The Supreme Court will make a landmark ruling. The expectation, the presumption is that it'll be a 5-4 ruling that will say same-sex, quote, marriage is the rule, that Americans have a constitutional right to it, and that states cannot oppose it. I've already written about this. I'm just posting it again today to remind folks. I wrote about it back in February when the Supreme Court rules on same-sex, quote, marriage in terms of how we respond. But I am committed, friends, to being your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, a voice of sanity and clarity, moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise, and to continue to equip you to stand, to have faith, to have courage, to be encouraged, to have understanding, to be theologically grounded, and above all, to be people of faith who love God and who love your neighbor as yourself. If you're offended by anything Ryan said, study it out. See if what he's saying is accurate. Watch the videos. Look at these things for yourself and come to your own conclusions. But I can tell you this, gay activists laid it out in the late 80s through a concerted effort, propaganda through the media, to brainwash the culture and thereby to change people's thinking. And they said, hey, we've been demonized and lied about. So if we go the other way, if we lie on the other side, it's only fair. We're going to tell you the truth here. What I say to you, I'm saying based on research, I'm saying based on personal knowledge, I'm saying in the fear of the Lord as honestly and clearly as I can. And we are here for you. I want to thank all of you who pray for us. I want to tell you that my life is a blessed life. And given the volatile nature of the many subjects we deal with and the spiritual nature of many of the things we deal with, I'm truly blessed. That means people are praying for me and our family. Thank you. Thank you, every torchbearer, every one of our monthly supporters, everyone who's helped us with a one-time gift. Thank you. Everyone who's shared a podcast or an article, told a friend about the radio broadcast. Thank you. This is a team effort. And the Supreme Court, if they make a disastrous decision, just think back to Roe v. Wade. This will be the Roe v. Wade of our day. Tragic, terrible decision, but something that will galvanize us together rather than defeat us, and also expose those who are wavering and compromising. And friends, if you can help us, I leave for Israel tomorrow. If you can help us with some additional support on this trip as we go and pour ourselves out, please do it. I'd really be blessed by that. Go to the website, askdrbrown.org, to stand with us. My bottom line today, we're surrounded by all kinds of lies, cultural lies, social media lies, lies from the major media. Stay with the truth, because the truth will triumph in the end. Well, any day now, the Supreme Court is going to make its decision on same-sex so-called marriage. What does that mean to the church?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, it's really interesting. When is the Supreme Court going to make the ruling? You know, this is not like a bomb that just dropped somewhere and no one knew it was coming. Everybody knows it's about to come. So tomorrow? Monday? When is the ruling going to come? There's going to be the ruling on President Obama's health care system, so-called Obamacare. There's going to be the ruling that I'm talking about on marriage, so-called same-sex marriage. Is there a constitutional right for it? The expected 5-4 vote. Justice Kennedy expected to go the wrong way on that, but you never know what's going to happen. My life's going to go on just the same as a worshiper of God, as a follower of Jesus, as a man of the word. And if things get really bad around us, and if society loses its corporate sanity for a while, my life's going to go on the same. In terms of my commitment, my principle, by God's grace, I'm not boasting, I'm saying by God's grace, what the world decides, what people decide, doesn't change truth, doesn't change reality. And what Satan or the world or sin or people mean for evil, God can and will turn for good as we love him and honor him. This is Michael Brown, and I am delighted to be with you. Thank you, all of you who called yesterday, differing with me as we had critics call in day. It was delightful to hear from so many of you that differed with me. Why was it delightful, you say? Well, because you actually called. I appreciate that. It's not easy to do. Not for some people it's easy, but for others it's not easy. And I appreciate those who differed with me, other believers who differed respectfully. Trust me, I don't just answer your questions in a thoughtless way. If I feel you have validity to your point, I mean, we discussed marriage and divorce again yesterday. I appreciate the points that are made. I know there's much force behind them. I'd never think of marriage as anything other than a lifelong commitment of one man and one woman. The so-called exception clauses and things like that, that does not go into changing the nature and meaning and importance of marriage. But thank you for calling. Thank you for expressing your differences. Had one call that was very, very interesting about if I'm really Jewish, why don't I look African? A whole bunch of people said, that's just black Hebrew theology. We put that up on YouTube, actually, the audio of it. You can listen to that by going to my website, askdrbrown.org, just clicking on our YouTube icon. But I want to read and share some articles, some excerpts of articles with you today. I want to encourage you. I want to build your faith. I want to help equip you. That's a major reason why I'm on the air. Tomorrow, God willing, I travel to Israel, and I'm going there to equip. That's why I'm going to Israel, to equip Jewish believers, to equip Christians that are coming into the country for a special conference, do a seminar for 7 different Messianic Jewish congregations on answering Jewish objections to Yeshua. So it's going to be a very exciting time. When I come back, though, I want to read some Twitter interaction I had last night. It starts like this. I'll get it started here and continue on the other side of the break. Oh, by the way, if you still want to differ with me on something, but only moral and cultural, the phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH. So not theological so much, but moral and cultural. Or you think it's wrong that I even get involved in these moral cultural issues, 866-348-7884. That is the number to call. And I've got a question. I'm going to put out a question for you as well. But I tweeted this out the other day. If Bruce Jenner is really a woman, how come his family celebrated Father's Day with, quote, her? How can you be a female father? In response, a gal named Andy responded, you're stupid as heck. I'll tell you my response when we come back.
Flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
One thing that I love about radio is it's different than if I'm preaching at a church, if I'm lecturing at a seminary, or speaking at a conference. In a setting like that, virtually everybody there is there because they agree with you. They're there because they want to hear what you have to say because they agree with you. Or in general, they're of like faith. But when I'm talking to people on radio, a whole lot of you agree with a lot of what I say and tolerate other stuff because you differ. Or you absolutely differ with everything I say. Now, years ago, I used to listen to a guy on radio. I'd think just get my blood pressure high. I mean, I don't know why I'd listen because I disagreed all the time. But I know some of you listen. I don't know if it's to get riled up or you just enjoy listening, even though if you differ. But I'm so glad you listen. I am so glad you're listening. 866-34-TRUTH. This is Michael Brown, your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. I'm so glad you listen. I love preaching to the choir in terms of I want to strengthen my fellow believers. I want to equip. I want to encourage. I want to help give boldness and strength. If you feel confident, you're going to be much more bold. If you feel confident that you can answer someone, if you feel confident that you know there are answers, if you feel confident that you're on the right side, you'll be much more bold. Let's say you're a salesman and you're selling your product and everybody's got to get this new amazing product. And then you find out that there's a serious flaw with it and it may not do what it's supposed to do. If you got any kind of conscience, you're not going to be selling so well, are you? But you find out, no, that was actually a bogus report. That was a competitor trying to slander your work and it's actually better than you thought. Then you sell with even more confidence. Well, when we're standing for what's right, we're standing for truth, we're honoring the Lord. The more confidence you feel in that, the better you can serve others, the better you can love others, the better you can do the will of God. For those of you who differ with me, at least you know somebody who differs, who's not some maniac, out of control, yelling, screaming person. And you may still think I'm crazy. That's okay. But at least we get to, it takes down the barrier. At least we're talking. At least you're listening and you may even call in. So I've got a question. For those who favor redefining marriage, and this, again, this is the massive subject that's out there day and night and is about to become more massive as soon as the Supreme Court rules, which could be tomorrow or Monday. So if you believe that marriage should be redefined, if two people, quote, love each other, then that's fine. They love each other and they should be able to be married, whether it's two men, two women, doesn't matter. So my question is, why the number two? If marriage is not the union of a man and a woman. So think of a male and female plug, all right? I'm not saying this is all just biological, but I'm just saying think of a male and female plug. So that's why you have two. You have the receptacle and then you have the plug, right? So you need two in order to do that. There are certain things you need two in order to make it work. You need a male and female in order to come together, have the natural ability to reproduce children, and then join the child to the mother and father. You can't do that as one person. You could potentially do it as three or four or five as long as you had one man and one woman in the midst of it. But you can't do it with one. You have to have two, right? And as long as you have two, then you don't need a third or a fourth or a fifth. And those two can uniquely now join together as one. If marriage is not the union of a man and a woman, why limit it to two or why even require two? Well, marriage has always been two people. No. Marriage has always been a man and a woman. Even in polygamous situations, it was a man and several women. You still had the essential male-female ingredients. Is it John Gray? Is that his name? The author of the famous books, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Haven't read the books, but they're certainly mega bestsellers for many, many years, and I imagine they have all kinds of interesting and good insights in them. But in short, Mars plus Mars, or Venus plus Venus, does not equal Mars plus Venus. So if you go back to my plugs, you could have two male plugs. That's not going to make the connection. Two female plugs won't make the connection. You need the male and the female. So if it's not a male and a female, anybody, please, plenty of you listening to me are on the other side of this politically, socially, morally, and you believe marriage should be redefined. So I just want to ask the simple question. If marriage is not the union of a man and a woman, why does it require two people? Why can't you marry yourself? Why can't there be three or four or five? If love is love, why can't there be more? Phone lines are wide open. I've never gotten a cogent answer yet. Not once. I got a hunch I'm not going to get one today either. I don't believe there is one. So there, I'm telling you, there is no answer. Go ahead and prove me wrong. Yeah, I'm giving you a big smile to provoke you to do it. Go ahead and prove me wrong. 866-34-TRUTH. So I tweeted this out a couple days ago. If Bruce Jenner is really a woman, and what got me thinking about it, it's Father's Day celebration, and you've got the whole Kardashian family, whatever, and they're all gathering with, quote, Caitlyn to celebrate Father's Day. Did that not seem a little inconsistent? And the article's talking about she, her. Well, she, her, that's not a father. So I tweeted this out. If Bruce Jenner is really a woman, how come his family celebrated Father's Day with, quote, her? How can you be a female father? So a gal named Andy responded, you're stupid as heck. That was the response. I know, penetrating deep. It's Twitter. So I wrote back, thanks for the kind words, with a smile. And I said, so I'm, quote, stupid to think that a woman can't be a father? Now, this is the actual interaction we're having. This is what I wrote back. So I'm stupid to think that a woman can't be a father? She replied, yes, basically. I mean, you have to laugh, but I feel bad for the people that actually believe in this stuff, because many of them are caring people. They're caring people. So I then responded. Then words no longer have meaning, and gender is whatever I imagine it to be at any given moment. If that's being smart, have at it. And she added in, also, please respect her identity pronouns. let me tell you again what I wrote. If I'm being stupid for thinking a woman can't be a father, then words no longer have meaning, and gender is whatever I imagine it to be at any given moment. If that's being smart, have at it. Her reply, yikes. That was her reply. Yikes. I said, ha, my feelings exactly your post and what you tell people with species dysphoria. Do I refer to them as dogs and cats? What about people who actually believe they're animals? So she sends me a link. Now, here's the good part. Almost unbelievably, almost shockingly, here's the good part. She then sent me a link. I sent a link back to her, and she read it. She read the link. She read the link I sent her and responded back. And I was from psychologist Dr. Paul McHugh from Johns Hopkins University Hospital in Johns Hopkins University. She responded back. He brings up some interesting perspectives I hadn't thought about before. Paraphrase of what she said, or pretty accurate quote. He brings up some perspectives I hadn't thought of before. Wow. And then she said, but look at this link, and sent me another. Well, we actually engaged in some intelligent discussion after that. But here is June 25th on a website, a transgender website, argument number 4, they're refuting common arguments. Having, quote, gender dysphoria is equivalent to having species dysphoria. Here's an argument that I actually hear more often than you would think, and this is one where I'll actually give you a quote from someone I encountered from user Speech Racer on YouTube. I think the trans person is completely correct. I self-identify as a dolphin, and it's almost impossible to explain what it's like to hick people, human-identifying people. I'm worried that any hick person I meet could try to kill, eat me, or put me in a small prison like SeaWorld. Back to the article. Obviously, this was said with much sarcasm. And when I tried to explain the difference to this user, I was told I was being judgmental of all people with species disorder and that they even had a friend who self-identifies as a cow and that they can't imagine how she can get through the day. Lesson learned by me, don't feed the trolls. The only reason why this is taken offensive by me is, for example, in the comments section of the online newspaper I was reading about Medicaid finally covering sex reassignment surgery. Someone said that they were happy because now they're able to get the body modification of a cow that they were wanting their whole lives. Again, they were being heavily sarcastic and just mentally attacking trans folk. Wait, unless I manage to find Speech Racer's friend. Wow, small world. Anyhow, so yes, species dysphoria is a real thing. Well then, why is that any different than transgender confusion? You'll be surprised with this answer.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Wow. I'm shocked. Okay, I'm being sarcastic. No one's called in yet to tell me if marriage is not the union of a man and a woman, why it requires two people, why you can't marry yourself, why you can't have threesomes and foursomes and whatever other arrangements. Love is love. Why not two older brothers? Why not? Phone lines are open. Oh, people have called in to agree with me. But Joey, Betsy, Matt, am I telling the truth? Nobody's calling to take up the challenge. And only calls coming in are people agree with me. Wow. But I'm not surprised because there is no rational, logical answer. Historical answer. Certainly not biblical answer. I give the number again, 866-34-TRUTH. Now, if you have a question, you're trying to sort something out morally or culturally, or trying to line something up morally, culturally, biblically, or want to even figure out, should we be involved with these things? Oh, by all means, you can give me a call, and I'll respond to your questions. But otherwise, don't call to say you agree with me on marriage. I appreciate that. God bless you for it. Be strong. But give me the answer to the question. All right, now, so here's a transgender activist saying, okay, well, what about the argument that some people have gender dysphoria, so they're not comfortable in the biological sex in which they were born? Some people have species dysphoria. So this transgender activist says, anyways, so yes, species dysphoria, SD, is a real thing. That happens to a very small percentage of people, and most commonly the individual's thought processes and perceptions were, quote, usually logical. Now, hang on. Why say a very small percentage of people? This happened when I was talking to one of the sweetest callers that ever calls into the show, a non-religious lesbian, out and proud, especially proud of her kids. And we chatted about these different issues. She'll call in every so often. And one of these days, I'll figure out the way to make the time. And hopefully, they'll have the time for my wife and I to sit with her and her partner. I'd really love to do that. And I think only good could come out of that. But it's all on me. I mean, it's all on me just to schedule it. But you know, she was pointing to certain people with certain issues, like species dysphoria. It's a really tiny percentage. But well, why does tiny percentage matter? I've had other gay activists tell me that. Well, incestuous couples, that's a tiny, tiny percentage. Why does that matter? When the Centers of Disease Control survey found that gays and lesbians were 1.6% of the population, which was the identical number found in a massive survey in the UK, and when gay activists for years have known the number is 2-3%, and there's documentation for that. I provide it in A Queer Thing Happened to America, their own law cases and things like that. So why bring up the percentage argument? The only way gay activism has made some of the strides it's made is by saying that they're 10% or more of the population, which is blatantly false. So, you know, you really have to, if you're going to be a tiny minority movement, then don't trash other tiny minorities. Well, that's not important. It's so small. Well, then we'll say the same about gays because it's such a small number, you know, less than 1 in 50. So anyway, he says, yes, Species dysphoria is a real thing. Now, check this out. This transgender activist says, I can accept this and accept these people for who they are. Sure. In other words, if you think you're part cow, you're part dog, you're part bumblebee, you're part elephant, you're part moose, you're part bat, you're part eagle, if you feel that way, then fine, I'll accept you. Oh, that's the whole thing. That's the whole problem. Help the people from the inside because they're not part cow. They're not part moose. They're not part elephant. They're not part eagle. They're not part bumblebee. They're not. He says, but if you really have this problem, then don't try to sound sarcastic when trying to share this with the world. You may not be taken seriously and may be assumed to be someone just trying to insult. The verdict? Like I mentioned, I can accept someone with this condition for who they are. I have no issues with people like this, nor do I think they're wrong for being who they are inside. This is the direction that it goes. This is the inevitable direction, friends. We go from relative morality to relative reality. That's where we go. I've written about it. I've got a YouTube video out about it. I said to people celebrating Bruce, quote, Caitlyn Jenner, be careful what you wish for, because you go in the direction of however you feel, that's reality. And if you want to, if you feel you shouldn't have legs, then you amputate those legs because it's your body, and you're not hurting anyone. Dan Savage, that's what he said, gay activist Dan Savage. Now here's someone saying, hey, if you have species dysphoria and you're convinced you're part cow, you're fine, I'll accept you the way you are. Just don't be sarcastic about it if you're trying to make a point. No, all these people need help, including those who identify as transgender. But he says this, it is just in my opinion that this is definitely in the realm of mental issues. Mental issues. But of course, that's what it is. Could be spiritual issues. More so than having gender dysphoria, GD, which the brain itself is physically the other gender. Oh. Listen. Studies have not been done of little children and then into adulthood demonstrating that they have wrong gender brains. What has been done, especially with older people, is to show that there are abnormalities in the brain so that a man would have more female patterns. But it's easily explicable. It's because of the fixation. The brain has plasticity. This is well known and well understood. For example, someone who goes blind, their other senses will normally be more acute because the brain is now concentrating on those other things. I'm not trying to give a technical scientific explanation, but a general one. My favorite illustration is that cab drivers in London were found to have a much larger navigation part of their brain. So more of the brain was given to some because of their jobs. So the same way someone that fixates on, okay, a man, I'm a woman, I'm really a woman, I'm a woman, for whatever caused it, whatever triggered that, it's only natural that their brain would show different. But show me the evidence, the hardcore evidence, that Bruce Jenner is anything other than a biological and genetic male, and that from birth he had a female brain. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find it. And those with abnormalities, let's try to find out how to help them with their abnormalities as opposed to making the abnormality the reality. He says, as rare as it is for a species disorder, there's no scientific data saying their brain is, for example, half human, half dog. Hey, you never know. Never know what people will find. It's not possible for someone with SD to have a cross-species brain in the same way someone with GD has a cross-sex brain. Yes, but it's quite possible for the brain to mislead. It's quite possible for the brain to be confused. It's quite possible for the brain to send out wrong signals. We come back. I'm going to talk about an article from my friend, Pastor Jim Garlow, Dr. Garlow, Christian Leaders, the Chamberlains, and the Churchills. Jim Garlow sees two camps on the Supreme Court ruling, courageous and capitulators. We'll talk about that. I'm here to equip, strengthen you. We'll take some calls on the other side of the break, 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
When were you first considered a family? When you fell in love? When you got married? When you had kids? When did you first fight to be considered a family? When you fell in love? When you got married? When you had kids? Family isn't defined by who you love, but how. Tylenol,
yep. Esurance has a commercial out. Wells Fargo, I think it was Wells Fargo, two deaf women. It's so touching, and they're about to adopt a little girl and tell her we're your new mommies. And, hey, you're going to see it everywhere. There's a reason we've been talking about these issues. Tylenol, this is a couple weeks back now, a same-sex prom couple and two gay dads are among those featured in the campaign's first TV ad, which is directed by Academy Award winner Dustin Lance Black, slated to begin airing on TV next week, which would have been last week. Family isn't defined by who you love, but how. Manoj Raghunandan, senior director of marketing for Johnson & Johnson's McNeil Consumer Healthcare, told Advertising Age that the ad was representative of his company's commitment to celebrating, quote, how families look and feel different now than they did before. Tylenol, just let you know. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go over to this article I wrote back in February, because I knew late this year that Supreme Court would be taking up the marriage question. And so somewhere around June, we'd have this ruling. So either tomorrow or Monday. And I will have some comments for you as soon as possible. Depends on when things happen. I may be in flight to Israel as a ruling is announced. But certainly within 24 hours, either on the radio or in writing, we will have something to say about this. It could be video, it could be audio, it could be in writing, it could be all three. But basically, if the Supreme Court goes the wrong way, we continue unaffected. Oh, we all may be affected, but we continue unaffected in terms of we're going to continue to do what's right. We're going to continue to do what's right. We're going to continue to stand for righteousness. We're going to continue to stand for marriage as God intended it. We're not going to recognize something that is not marriage. We're going to continue to preach. We're going to continue to pray. We're going to continue to share the gospel. Now, what if our religious rights come under even more attack? Well, then we have the further choice. Do we throw in the towel and capitulate? Do we cower in a corner? Or would you stand all the more tall? Do we press in all the more? I believe, here, I'll read you the beginning of this article, all right? You say, well, Mike, how can we make sure we hear what you're saying? Well, it's either going to be on radio, so just listening, you'll hear it, or in writing, or on YouTube. So as long as you're connected with our ministry through Facebook or Twitter or email, you'll know. You say, I don't get your e-blast. Ah, you see, every week, we send out the beginning of the week, let you know what the new special resource offer is. In fact, we probably get more responses to that e-blast than any announcements we make on radio or on social media. So people really do respond. They really appreciate getting that because of the special resource offers every week. And then I may have a special message that I send out during the week. And then at the end of the week, we send out an email to you that will list all of the articles I've written in the week, 3, 4, 5, or any special videos that we put up, so you'll never miss anything. And if you want to get it instantly, you can get it on Facebook or Twitter. So just go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on Facebook or Twitter or the email icon to get the emails. And this way, you'll always be just seconds away from notification.
Came to the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, look at this. This is classic. Someone, let's just see here. Ah, that's ugly. That's ugly. I think I'll report this one. Someone on my Facebook page, on the Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page, posted just one star, so a negative review of the website. Thankfully, we're overwhelmed with five-star reviews from people who appreciate the Facebook page, what we do and what we put out. But this is a picture of Adolf Hitler, and then the name is in Arabic, so it took me a second to read it in Arabic, but in Arabic, it's Adolf Hitler. So, that, I think we will definitely report that. That crosses a line. 866-34-TRUTH. Someone asked a question on Facebook. What if they said when they were fighting bulimia and anorexia, even though they were skin and bones, they look in the mirror, they'd see themselves as fat. They're wondering if it's similar to someone transgender that's not at home in the same body. And many that I've read would say, yes, it is the same. So how should we respond if the Supreme Court rules to redefine marriage in June? What do we do if same-sex, quote, marriage becomes the law of the land? We respond just as we did when Roe v. Wade was passed in 1973, devoting ourselves all the more to stand for what is right and be agents of positive change. Perhaps it would help if we asked the reverse question. What would gay activists do if, quite unexpectedly, the Supreme Court rules against same-sex, quote, marriage, even invalidating all same-sex ceremonies performed to date? Do you think gay activists would throw in the towel? Do you think they would say, hey, we gave it our best shot, but the law is the law? Not a chance. A ruling like that would energize them all the more. Why should it be any different with us? The idea that we're swimming against the inevitable tide of history is completely ludicrous. There's an article from John Eastman, Public Discourse, back in April 20th, Just the Facts, Ma'am, rebutting the false, quote, inevitability narrative. And the article says more than 50 million people have, by their votes, demonstrated that they continue to understand the profound importance of marriage. They deserve better than to have the decision to protect or redefine marriage taken out of their hands by the Supreme Court. In other words, saying when you look at the actual voting data, okay, cumulative total on all votes thus far across the country, all votes so far on marriage, right, state after state after state after state, so it's 39 statewide elections in 35 different states. Cumulative total, 51,483,777 votes in favor of retaining the man-woman definition of marriage versus 33,015,412 votes in favor of same-sex, quote, marriage. That's a vote margin of 60.93% to 39.07%, a landslide in American politics. What about the recent public opinion polls? Frank Schubert's conclusion, an expert, those polls are severely flawed, employing a number of well-known polling tactics that distort the results, such as positive response bias, that is, phrasing the question so that the yes answer yields the preferred response. Multiple issue questions to encourage a positive response even if there's agreement with only part of the question. And priming, the practice of placing the critical question after a series of non-controversial questions in order to lay the groundwork for the preferred response. One of the nation's most recognized polling organizations, Gallup, now primes its same-sex, quote, marriage question on all of its polls, for example, even though it knows from polls when it primed only half of the response, the priming yields about 6 to 7% point difference in the results. And on it goes. Look, polls are going to change. Our views don't change based on polls. Our principles don't change based on polls. Our convictions don't change based on polls. I want to give the invitation one more time. I've given it for many months now. I've given it in public debate. I've given it in social media. And yet, after several years and many attempts, that certainly have reached hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands, if not millions, nobody has given me a lucid or cogent response yet. I'll try it once more. Sorry to be repetitious, but I want to be fair and give people a chance to respond. If marriage is not the union of a man and a woman, with the unique qualities that a man and a woman bring together, hence you have to have the man plus the woman. You can't just have a man. You can't just have a woman. You can't just have two men. You can't just have two women. If it's not the unique union of a man and a woman, with all that they bring, with the potential, the natural potential for biological reproductivity, the natural ability to join the child to its mother and father, if marriage is not the union of a man and a woman, why does it require two people? Why can't you have one people? Why not three or eight or 11? Why? Anybody, the phones are open. 866-34-TRUTH. All right. On another note, Jeff, I was going to go Jeff, but I won't now. Okay. Jim Garlow, Pastor Jim Garlow, courageous Christian church historian, took over John Maxwell's church, Skyline, years ago in California. I was just there for a conference a few days back. In fact, Father's Day, David and Jason Benham, my dear friends, spoke for their Father's Day service on Sunday. Jim Garlow writes this: in a few days, the Supreme Court of the United States will issue its long-anticipated ruling on the definition of marriage. Few seem to believe that the court will affirm traditional, historical, natural, biblical, authentic one-man, one-woman marriage. Many seem to believe that the court will, in fact, attempt to destroy the definition of marriage from a biblical perspective. It's a third way that is advocated by such persons as Rob Schenck. He expects the court to attempt to do a Solomonic split of the baby. Like Solomon's split, which would have killed the baby, this attempt does the same. This odd ruling, should it occur, allegedly attempts to preserve some level of First Amendment rights for pastors, but assumedly not for bakers and florists, while at the same time thoroughly devastating traditional one-man, one-woman marriage in America. My concern is less with prognosticating on what the court might do, but rather on the reaction of the Christian community to the presumed attempted destruction of marriage, specifically from its leaders. What should we expect? It appears to me that there are some who suffer from Tony Campolo syndrome. That is, they are on the verge of stepping over, coming out of the one-man, one-woman marriage closet, and a bit eager to embrace a so-called same-sex marriage. Why will several prominent Christian, quote, leaders do this? It will not be because they can biblically defend it. They cannot. That's self-evident. It will be because, now how do I say this nicely? They're cowardly. You see, it is now culturally chic, oh, so very cool, to affirm so-called same-sex, quote, marriage. By doing so, one appears so with it, so relevant, and it makes you appear, notice only appear to be so kind and grace-giving. I fully expect several high-profile pastors and Christian leaders, based on the rumblings, to use the Supreme Court decision as an excuse, a casuistry, to violate Scripture. The phrase that will be used will be very similar and even more boring, even more tragic. It will be deceptive. One phrase that will be used repeatedly is that that ship has sailed. It seems to ease their conscience that they can now fit in culturally with the radical homosexual agenda and not have to suffer from any of the barbs, jabs, and bullying hurled at those who stand with Scripture. If you read between the lines, you'll quickly discern that these so-called leaders, I left off the adjective Christian at this point, are hiding behind the robes, skirts, the Supreme Court justices. They were looking for an out all along, and the ship has sailed, quote, gives them the cover they need. While it is true that the ship may have sailed, that ship will sink. It is the proverbial Titanic. The problem is it will try to take so many of us down with it, even though we've been warning of the iceberg for some time. And those who stand for truth, those with titanium scriptural backbones, will face entirely new challenges in defending biblical marriages. Christian leaders will be divided into two categories, says Dr. Garlow. Neville Chamberlain's, that is the compromisers, and Winston Churchill's, the courageous champions. For those whose World War II history is slipping, Neville Chamberlain compromised and set up Hitler to kill tens of millions of people. Winston Churchill knew what had to be done against Hitler and did it. The Chamberlain cowardly Christian leaders will assert that it's all over. There's nothing we can do. It has been decided. the Churchill ABC leaders, authentically biblical Christian leaders, will rise up and say, never give up. In fact, friends, the opening chapter of my book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, which you can order online now, it'll be out in early September, but already on Amazon has been as high as the number one book in gay and lesbian activism. Outlasting the Gay Revolution, where homosexual activism is really going and how to turn the tide. I start, principle number one out of eight principles is never compromise your convictions. Quoting Winston Churchill, never give up. Dr. Gola says, why will they do this? Because they are dinosauric and cannot get with the times? No. Because they figured out that there are some things worth continuing to fight for and, if necessary, die for. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
1927, Buck versus Bell, Supreme Court decision. Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes sided with compulsory sterilization of persons the court said were unfit to procreate, stating, quote, three generations of imbeciles are enough. 1857, Dred Scott versus Sanford ruling. 7-2 decision, Chief Justice Roger Taney wrote that a slave could not be free. This is from Jim Garlow's article, Christian Leaders, the Chamberlains and the Churchills. He says this, true leaders don't capitulate. Capitulators fold. True leaders will rise up and direct our nation toward true righteousness, continuing the struggle in ever creative ways. The capitulators will promptly qualify for the cowards column of history. We're about to find out who the real leaders are and who are the capitulators. Couldn't have said it any better myself, Jim Garlow. All right. Well, still haven't gotten anybody to answer my question. Isn't that something? Let's go to Anthony in Fouquet Varina, North Carolina. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, Dr. Brown. A quick question. I went to a Calvary Chapel when I lived in Las Vegas, and they went through marriage counseling, and part of the stipulations of getting married, you couldn't be in sexual sin, couldn't be living together, and they wouldn't marry you at that point without counseling you out of that sexual sin. So what's the difference between that and if you were a homosexual couple, you went through the marriage counseling, they said, you know, we can't marry you because you're in this sexual sin? It seems like you could do the first one with a heterosexual couple without any repercussions, but now that we're dealing with homosexuality, it seems that it's a little more toxic. I just wondered what you thought.
Yeah.
There really is a difference.
Of course, your point's totally valid. No, there's no difference. They're both immoral relationships. Even if people love each other and are committed to each other, they're still immoral relationships. And the difference would be that the heterosexual couple, by marrying, would repent of the sin of fornication. The homosexual couple, by, quote, marrying, would continue to be practicing sin and therefore could not be in that relationship and be blessed by God or have the blessing of the church. The problem, of course, is we've had this horrific cultural shift in a very short period of time, this massive cultural shift where marriage has been redefined from its always definition. Look, you've had cultures in the past where you had men that, quote, married men, you know, Nero having some ceremony with his young male lover or whatever, and, you know, one dressed as a bride. But no one ever thought of redefining marriage as a whole. You know, that was just some thing that was done here and there. And if it's ever been done in a culture, that culture doesn't exist. You know, there's always been a definition of marriage that's been universally understood as far as fundamentally requiring a man and a woman. Right now, a pastor could counsel a homosexual couple like that and say, I can't perform the, quote, wedding because God won't sanction this. He could do it legally with no repercussions, but there will be increasing social repercussions, Anthony. There is going to be increasing rejection of our rights to do this, and especially if the Supreme Court makes this disastrous ruling, as it well could, tomorrow or Monday, then they're going to say, well, this is the law, constitutional right. that exists for two men or two women to, quote, marry. And that means that gay activists are going to come after the churches all the more. I mean, they mock me all the time for saying that, but it's happening already, and it will continue to happen. And people will say, you don't have a right to do it. You're discriminating, and it's no different than saying a black man can't marry a white woman.
I mean, do you think it'll come to a point where they're going to say, well, you can't really prevent a heterosexual couple from being married just because they're in sexual sin? You can't discriminate against somebody who is in sexual sin altogether.
It could be, but I don't think so, because this is looked at differently. In other words, that once you, quote, marry, then the immorality goes away. So if it's two men or two women and they, quote, marry, then it's not sexual sin anymore, according to these new definitions. The flak will come. The opposition will come. The first thing that could easily happen is the attack on our benefits. So the idea that churches are tax exempt, or that your gifts to the church are tax deductible, that could well be the first area where we come under attack. But it could get some more severe than that. It could be ministries or organizations being forced to shut down. All the ministries I know, or almost all of them, operate in a very, very tight budget, and being a tax exempt enables them to do what they're doing. You start undercutting schools and ministries and things like that because of, quote, alleged discrimination against gays. And yeah, absolutely, you could see things shutting down. Could it be that ultimately people would go to jail because they'd be found in contempt of court and violating the state's discrimination rules? Could it be that people would go to jail? It could well be. I mean, people have gone to jail for all kinds of good causes in the past. And the moment that you give your life to follow Jesus, you're signing up by life or by death. He's telling us right up front that people are going to hate us, malign us, could even kill us. So I don't think anyone, I mean, you get a crazy gay activist, you get a crazy professing Christian activist, you get a crazy Muslim activist, Jewish, you get crazy atheists out, you get all kinds of crazies out there that literally want to kill people. And horrific murderers like this white supremacist that carried out an atrocity on our black brothers and sisters last week in Charleston. But I don't think right now, in terms of actual movements, anyone's trying to kill us or wants to kill us. But silence us or delegate us to the dustbin of history, or say that we are completely irrelevant, or do what they can to put us out of, quote, business. Yeah, I think quite a few would gladly do that. Good news is that Jesus is Lord, risen from the dead, and I feel bad for those on the wrong side of God. That's the bigger issue. Thank you for the call. Hey, Josh from Miami, thank you. I love that. You're getting addicted to the program. Can't get it live. You have to wait till you can get the whole 2 hours online, so that's a good thing. You listen straight through. Hey, thank you, Josh. That means a lot to me. And it's my joy to be on the air, but it's a choice we have to make as I travel around the world, travel with special equipment, get up at odd hours, record special shows if I'm going to be on a plane, because I'm just so jealous for the time with all of you. So thanks for that word of encouragement. We hear it from so many people, and it really means the world to us. If you can help us, friends, when I go to somewhere like Israel, I'm not going there to raise money. I'm not going there to think that the congregations there, which are kind of missionary congregations, are going to help support our work around the world. So even if my expenses get paid, it's a sacrificial trip in terms of time and time away. Would you like to sow into Jewish ministry? When's the last time you've given a direct gift to help win Jewish people to the Lord and to help equip Jewish believers in the land to withstand objections to the rabbis and to win fellow Jews? Maybe never, not for a while. Here's your opportunity. Go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Sign up to become a monthly supporter or help with a one-time gift, and you can designate it for Jewish ministry, and that will literally be injected into us as we travel over to Israel tomorrow. Would you do that? You can also call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, so the Supreme Court is about to make its decision. If it makes a disastrous decision, it'll be like the Roe v. Wade of our movement that will galvanize us and strengthen us.